thank you for being here tonight. And turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 1. We were there in Luke chapter 1 a couple of weeks ago or last week. I can't remember. Time passes by real fast. And we were looking at this passage. I kind of doing a little mini series. I entitled it last week, Preparing for Christmas. And we looked at Zechariah and Elizabeth and how they were the parents of John the Baptist. They were told that God was going to perform a wonderful work in their lives. And so now tonight we're going to move on and see the annunciation, the announcement that the angel Gabriel brings and gives to Mary. And as we see this, it's a wonderful time and a wonderful just revelation as we're going to look at tonight. I entitled this little message tonight based on a popular song, Christmas song, made popular, I think, through some of the Gaither music a few years ago, and Mark Lowry and Buddy Green wrote this song. A lot of artists have done it, simply entitled, Mary, Did You Know? It's kind of a neat little song when you hear it, and it kind of reflects, and it's often caused me to reflect, you know, just what did Mary know? And all of us have questions in our lives, and Mary had questions. And I know she was a young servant of the Lord, and she yielded herself, as we will see. But I think this, as we look at this, hopefully from this perspective, it will encourage you and me both to be open to God speaking to our hearts, which is really where all the revelation and illumination of God's Word comes from in our lives, and the goal for God's Word in our lives. It's not just to be a book that we look at historically. It's supposed to be a book that transforms our lives. And it transformed Mary's life and Joseph's life, as we'll see, and as the announcement of this birth occurred, even in this passage tonight. But you know, it's really important that when I think about that little title again, Mary, Did You Know? We live in a day and age where a lot of people say, well, it doesn't really matter what you know. And we know someone was asked many years ago a question. I heard this on an interview. What are the two greatest problems in the world? And he said, I don't know and I don't care. Real sarcastic. And he said, exactly, ignorance and apathy. Ignorance and apathy. Two great problems that our world lives with. Because really what you don't know can hurt you and will hurt you. And your lack of knowledge, especially when it comes to a clear understanding of God's Word, is to your own demise as we see this. And so I encourage you tonight to even let this message speak to you and to remind you to desire a deeper knowledge of God's Word and therefore God's will for your life so that you may live the life that God is calling you to live. Because you cannot just go through life, especially as a child of God, in a passive way. You have to be very intentional and you have to be very focused on understanding God's Word and studying God's Word and be a student of God's Word and learning God's Word. And God's Word is very clear that we will stand before God one day. The greatest tragedy we see in the world today is there's many nations, especially in some of the countries in the 1040 window, that don't even have clear and convenient access to the Word of God. But yet here in America, we have many copies of God's Word in any given home, but yet some of us don't take the time to spend time in that Word any opportunity we get. And that's still the primary way that God's going to speak to us is through His Word. And I'm glad that we serve a God who still speaks, amen? And He reveals Himself to us. And so we will see this in even tonight. So as we consider this, read with me and follow along. I'll begin reading in verse 26 of Luke's gospel tonight. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, And she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, How will this be since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you tonight once again for the privilege to study and share your word. Father, we pray for that precious Holy Spirit to just speak your word to our lives tonight and our heart and give us a deeper understanding. Lord, as we apply ourselves to not only sharing the word and preaching the word tonight, but also hearing the word and learning the word and applying the word to our lives. Lord, will you just please speak to our heart the way you're so good to do. And Lord, help us to be free from distractions and truly have hearts that will listen to your word as you communicate to our hearts even this evening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So as we look at this and understand, as I've already alluded to in my introduction, we're going to just jump right in the text and we're going to look. As we say and we consider the subject, Mary, did you know? Well, how was Mary going to learn in this process? First of all, we notice Mary's revelation, which was the revelation that came from God. I like that word revelation. The word revelation is used to describe God's word because God, in fact, in the entirety of Scripture, is revealing himself to mankind. And just because God is so good at being God, amen? That sounded weird, but anyway. But just because God is God, I think it's quite interesting. He ended the Bible with the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, the very last book in God's word. And so that's an exclamation point to the entirety of God's word. It's such a beautiful thing to think about how that God reveals himself to mankind. Now, he reveals himself in secondary ways. He reveals himself in creation at different times, and he tells us that in Romans chapter 1. But it's so special when God speaks. And as we mentioned last Sunday night, it had been 400 years since there had been any new revelation from God at the time this account was given. Those are the silent years, all the way from Malachi, the end of the Old Testament, all the way to the beginning of the Gospels in the New Testament. And so the people were hungry. Now, they still had access to the Scriptures of the Old Testament, and they knew the Scriptures, and they still instructed one another with the Scriptures, especially those who were following God, just the way we today are hungry for God's word and still seeking God. And you see that faithful remnant that was still there even during a time when it was the dark days of Herod, as we described last Lord's Day when we were talking about the introduction to the birth of John the Baptist. It was a very dark day, and it is a dark day today in America where people doubt that God is a God who still speaks to mankind. And people are questioning the integrity of God's word, or even the need for God's word. Big deal, that's just the Bible, they say. Yes, it's a big deal, and we know this, and we know the truth, and the truth has truly and is truly setting us free just the way Jesus said it would do. But do you understand how privileged and blessed we are that we have a God and we serve a God that speaks to us, and he cares about us, and he comes to us, and he reveals himself to us? We're incapable. So God makes the first move. And he's continued to do that in your life and my life, just like we see him doing it in Mary's life, as we see here today and as we understand. And this revelation is truly a beautiful thing. And, you know, the way God comes to this young girl, Mary. And we see, first of all, I want us to see under Mary's revelation that it was a very personal message, even as we see in the text. It says in the sixth month, and the text, as I read to you a minute ago, the best commentary on scriptures, the scripture itself, has already interpreted what that sixth month was. That was back in verse 36. It was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Because we had just got through looking at the narrative where God had told Elizabeth that she was going to have a child and told Zechariah and Elizabeth that they were going to have a child together. So it was the sixth month, the same angel that had came there to Zechariah when he was ministering in the temple now shows up to Mary there in Nazareth, we're told. And he was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was just an out-of-the-way, little insignificant city. And to some degree, it still is today, as you even look in the big scheme of major cities in the world, as we know that. I know the popularity of it has grown just because this is the birthplace of Jesus Christ, or the place where Mary and Joseph raised him in his childhood. And so we see, but this was a very personal message. And God sent his angel there to Mary. And Mary knew that this was something unusual. But I want you to know, and I want you to understand, that anytime God speaks to your heart, that's not to be looked at in just a common, ordinary way. It's a very significant thing when God speaks to us and God reveals himself to us. As you spend time hearing his word proclaimed through teaching or preaching or through studying God's word or through reading God's word is the primary way he wants to communicate himself to you and to me. She lived there in Nazareth, and the text tells us that she was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. And as I finish this little series on preparing for Christmas, in a couple of weeks, we'll look at that account from Matthew's gospel on Joseph as the final sermon in this series as we go through this. But you know, it's wonderful to remember how God spoke to Mary in a very personal way. He showed up with an angel, maybe a little bit unusual. We don't see angels around us all the time, or we don't know if we do. Of course, isn't it interesting that even God's word tells us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2 to beware, some of you have entertained angels unaware. You might not even know when God brings an angel into your life. At just the right moment, God will just show up and show out by sending one of his ministering spirits, according to Hebrews chapter 1, the description on who an angel is, sent from God. And I love how Gabriel describes this. He had already kind of rebuked Zechariah last week. Remember that in verse 19 of chapter 1, where he was setting Zechariah straight and reminding Zechariah. He said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And he wanted to kind of shake Gabriel up a little bit. And sometimes we need to be shook up. You know, and I think that's such a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful reality to see how that God, and even this text says that when the angel appeared to her, he gave her a very calming word. He came to her and he said to her, greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. Now, Mary knew this was an unusual means of communication. She had heard God's word taught probably throughout her life as a young Jewish girl growing up in a conservative Jewish home that cared about the things of God. And God was well aware of Mary. If he hadn't have been, he wouldn't have chose her on this occasion. God knows who his servants are before we even do. And that's just true throughout Scripture as we see this. So this personal message was very clear to her. And you know, I know that, as I said, God can use an angel if he so chooses. Most of the time, that's not the ordinary way God speaks to us. Sometimes he uses something as simple, we could say, as a sermon. I still find it amazing how God calls preachers to preach his word, and people will get so upset when the preacher says something they don't agree with and the preacher simply communicating the word of God. And that's okay. We preachers can handle it. We whine a lot anyway, you know that. But the reality of it is, God can use a sermon. He can use a song. He can use a caring friend. But the primary way God speaks to us is through the Word of God. And so any counsel that we get should be counsel given to us based on the Word of God. When we get in a situation, this passage tells us that she was greatly troubled at the saying, and she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. We get greatly troubled when we hear God's word too at times. Sometimes we don't like what we hear. Sometimes we don't understand what it's all about. Well, Mary did the right thing. She stuck with it. And the angel gave her fuller revelation. See, you can never gain more understanding of God's word by turning from God. You must always turn to God. And although you may not get it in its fullest extent initially, that's just God challenging you to a deeper level of understanding of what his will for your life is. And God is so good at bringing us along in phases and stages of spiritual maturity and spiritual development. The question for most of us is, do I know more of God's word tonight than I did 2 weeks ago? Do I know more of God's word tonight than I did 2 months ago? Do I know more of God's word tonight than I did 2 years ago? Or am I just kind of coasting? Just kind of resting on what I learned years ago? And that doesn't get it. God always has more for us. And God always is stirring our heart to lean into God the way Mary was doing. She was troubled at this saying. And God being God, he knows when you're troubled, just like he knew when Mary was troubled. And so God gave her a clear, greater revelation in verse 30. It was a personal message. It was very dear to Mary. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." You know, as I was just thinking about Brother Don's message this morning, that's the same thing God told us about Noah in Genesis chapter 6. He had found favor with God. What that means is simply that God, Mary had found grace in God's eyes. Just like we have found grace in God's eyes. We have found favor with God if you're his child and you know that God has called your name to enter into a life-changing relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. You know, God had sovereignly chosen her to carry out his redemptive purposes in her life. And so this was the message to this young virgin named Mary. You have found favor with God. Not because Mary was anything significant. There's some that have elevated Mary to a position equal to the Trinity, and that's not so according to God's word. She truly was blessed by God and she was a chosen vessel for God. But Mary was just a lady just like any of us, a person just like any of us who was in need of the grace of God working in and through her life just the way we do. And so the message in the revelation continued as he went ahead and he told her. Not only was it a personal message, but as we're fixing to see in these next few verses, it was a profound message. Like no message that has ever been revealed. And so he tells her, and the angel just lays it out. He says, "For behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end." What a profound message that is. And as I was looking at that message and breaking it down this week, the significant, first of all, he says, "Mary, you're going to have a child." And then he goes on to tell her, it's going to be a man child, amen? It's going to be a boy. And that was so significant, especially in light of what this message was saying. Because every Jewish woman who knew God's word had prayed for the day this boy would be born. And had hoped that they would be the one, perhaps, that God would choose. And so we don't know how much of this, but Mary was growing in her knowledge of God, just like we have the ability to do that, because she was leaning into God. She was listening to the revelation God was giving her. She was hanging on every word that the angel told her. Sometimes we just take God's word just so nonchalantly, and we just take it all for granted. And it loses the spark, and it loses the spontaneous combustion that should be there. When God speaks to us, it should move us, and it should change us. It should stir us like nothing else. And that's what it was doing to Mary on this occasion. So he told her first about this profound message. He told her about the greatness of the mission of this son. She said, his name will be Jesus, which simply means Jehovah is salvation. He is the one that will save his people from his sins, as the angel would tell Joseph later in Matthew's gospel. But when you think about that, his name is Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. That means great things to us. This talks about the greatness of his mission, because it means simply, as we say it, Jesus saves. Amen? Jesus saves. And God knew just what we needed. We didn't need a politician, you know, and we didn't need a financial advisor. We needed a Savior, because we're sinners. And he sent Jesus. Jehovah saves. And never miss that, and never understand that or underestimate. Not only do we see the greatness of his mission, we see the greatness of his majesty, as the angel went on to reveal. And she said to him, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him of his father's throne, David. And so when you see this, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. It tells us that, as I've already said here from Scripture, that he will be the one who everyone has been expecting, everyone's been waiting on. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. And so this is the greatness of his majesty and his splendor and his glory, and there's never been one like him. And, you know, I realize the disciples had a hard time, and everybody did during his earthly ministry, of really wrapping their mind around the greatness of his majesty. And then there were those brief occasions that, just like at the Transfiguration, where God would just pull the curtain back and let the glory of Jesus just shine through. And it would forever change them. And we see those occasions in our life where God just helps us be very aware that this wasn't just any baby. This was God's son. And this, not only was he going to have a great mission, but his throne was going to be sitting on his father's David, and he would reign over the house of Jacob, just like God had promised throughout the whole Old Testament era, even as our pastor so wonderfully presented to us this morning. And then we see the greatness of his might. As the revelation goes on to say, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And then in verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Hey, this is an eternal kingdom that God is establishing. He had promised that the Messiah would come and take this kingdom. And now Mary was being blown away with this. This was more than her young heart could really understand. But, you know, God had other purposes besides just Mary. And I'm looking at them tonight. Because don't ever underestimate what we call the inspiration, the illumination, the revelation of God's word. See, God's so fit to include this story in Holy Scripture and preserve it, so generation after generation after generation, we could celebrate the greatness of his mission, the greatness of his majesty, and the greatness of his might. Of his kingdom, there will be no end. Other kingdoms will rise and fall. Many have, and many will continue to. No one thought Rome could fall, did they? We saw the fall of Rome as you study history. Of this kingdom, it will never end. Jesus told them during his earthly ministry, my kingdom's not of this world. But then he tells us the kingdom of God is near you and it's in your midst. He said in the model prayer for us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth, right here, Jesus, on earth, in my life, in your life, as it's right now being done in heaven. This is the King of Kings. And when we recognize him as our King and our Lord and our Savior, then we will fall down and we will yield our lives to him. And we will be so concerned with what his kingdom, dominion, and his pledge and his words and his commands to us are. And we will follow him as the King. Jesus tells us, God tells us later in the New Testament in Philippians chapter 2 that there's coming a day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so many in our world today don't know that we serve a King. All the way from the cradle to the cross to the crown. He is highly exalted today. And one day, the Bible says, God's going to there again, pull back that curtain. And everyone, believers and unbelievers alike, are going to see King Jesus sitting on his throne. And every tongue will confess. Don't you feel blessed that God has already let you in on the secrets? And revealed this to you and helped you to know this and understand. Don't take that for granted. Never take what God has revealed to you for granted. There's so many thousands and millions out there who walk around in our world today still clueless about who Jesus really is. How dare us take that for granted? It was a profound message. It was a personal message. His kingdom will have no end. And then we see, as Mary began to lead on and question not only the revelation, which is so important, but we see a deeper understanding, which I've just entitled very naturally from the text, Mary's illumination. Illumination is where God takes the revelation and gives us a deeper understanding. He illuminates God's word to us through the illumination of the Holy Spirit. And he does that so wonderfully in your life and my life. And so the angel, when Mary asked the question, Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" And this was an honest question. And there's a whole nother sermon here that I won't have time to go at tonight about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ and the significance of that and how it's one of the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith, and we can never diminish the importance of that great doctrine. And so Mary knew what this angel had told her, and she wasn't arguing with the revelation she had just received. She wasn't doubting the revelation. She just didn't understand how that was going to happen and come about. And so she asked an honest question, and I like that because we can always ask our honest questions to God and to God's servants. And God is always willing to give us more illumination on the revelation that he's revealed to us. Sometimes we sell God way short. We say, "Well, I just don't understand it," and we walk away and we never seek God. God says to seek him and he will be found. Knock and it will be opened. And he tells us this in God's word, even through our prayer life, that God wants to give you a deeper understanding of the things of God. We just sell it off saying, "Well, that's too deep for me. I don't need to know that." Folks, if God has given it to us in his word, we need to know it. And we need to understand it. And we need to be students of the word, even as we see here. So Mary wasn't questioning the message itself. She was just curious about how God was going to accomplish it in his life. And God is always open to these. Essentially, God tells Mary, this is what he's telling her in this illumination, which is so neat and it's significant here. God basically tells her in this next verse, 35, he says, "Mary, I'm fixing to perform a miracle in your life." That's a word we're uncomfortable with. Miracle. Our God is a miracle-working God. Some people don't understand the concept of a miracle, and we use the word miracle in a loose way today. One of the best definitions of a miracle I've ever heard is simply this: if you can humanly explain it, then it's not a miracle. If it's from another realm, the supernatural activity of God, then it's a miracle. something that is humanly impossible. See, our God is a miracle-working God. And I told you there's another sermon here about the virgin birth, but really, not only with the virgin birth, there's another whole sermon here, as we're fixing to see unfold, about the new birth. Because as God revealed and illuminated this to Mary in the virgin birth, is the same way he works in the heart of every man, woman, boy, or girl to illuminate us. That's the reason he told Nicodemus, "Marvel not, Nicodemus, that I say unto you, you must be born again." A birth has to occur in your life just like it did in Mary's life with the virgin birth. And if there's not a new birth, there's not a new life. And you say, well, how do you explain salvation? You don't. It's a miracle. Only God can take a sinner like me and a sinner like you and give us the hope of eternal life in his Son, Jesus Christ. Only God can save us. That's humanly impossible. You can't save us. Even Jesus revealed that, and he told us in John's Gospel, chapter 1, not of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God, of the will of God. And so as we see this, how would this accomplish? God was open. Essentially, he told Mary, I'm going to supernatural give you a baby. He said to Mary in verse 35, he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born in you will be called Holy, the Son of God. Mary's womb would become the Holy of Holies. And that's mind-boggling. Never has another lady's womb been what Mary's womb was, because she's the only one. Even as Brother Don was preaching from Genesis this morning, in Genesis chapter 3, it was foretold way back there that this is how he would send his son. Because when he told Eve about her punishment, he said, when he was talking to Adam and Eve and talking to them about the sin and their fallen, he said, the seed of woman. Never again is it spoken of in Scripture that the woman has the seed. That's the fertilization that commonly is with the man. But the seed of woman, he will bruise his heel, being Satan, but the seed of woman will crush his head. And that was the first prophecy of the virgin birth in Genesis chapter 3. It had to be this way, because Jesus couldn't have an earthly father, didn't need one. He had a heavenly father. God Almighty, through the illumination and the power and the miracle working of the Holy Spirit. And we see that's how he would accomplish this miracle. Not only, and he cared so much about Mary and her question, he even gave her a little extracurricular stuff. You know, I like this. You know, I call this a security sign. You know, everybody wants to know where my sign is. Well, here's Mary's sign. By the way, Mary, behold, your relative Elizabeth. He obviously, Mary had not talked to Elizabeth yet. They're fixing to get together. And boy, I told you about that last week. Zachariah couldn't say a word. And they get together. But he tets Mary in on the secret that he's already been working ahead of her. And just as a little sign of encouragement, just to fuel Mary's flame and fuel her faith is what he was doing. Because that's what God does to us. Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age will conceive a son, for she, and she is already in the sixth month with her, who was called barren. She was an older woman. And he said, your relative Elizabeth's already. And Mary, that's another obvious indication that what I'm telling you is going to come 100% true. And then he gives us this little exclamation point in verse 37, which is one of the greatest moments in all of God's word. For he says, nothing will be impossible with God. What kind of God do you serve? A God of impossibilities. What's too hard for God to do? Nothing. What are you struggling with tonight that you think's just got you up against the wall? I'm telling you, God can break through. And God can give you a miracle in your life. Don't give up. Keep opening your heart and your life up to what God has for you. God has a wonderful plan and a purpose for your life. And you say, well, this is too difficult. Sure it is. That's the reason God's got you in that corner, so you'll learn more about Him and you'll rely on Him and you'll depend on Him and you'll look to Him and you'll seek Him with all of your heart. And so here Elizabeth is. With God, nothing is impossible. You know, Mary, she got this, and that God is a miracle-working God. And I pray that we'll get it tonight, even as God reminds us that nothing's impossible with God, no matter what I face in life. Nothing's impossible. God can do this. And so I feel like the dad that brought the little son to Jesus after Jesus came down off of the mountain in the Mount Transfiguration in Mark chapter 9. And he said to Jesus, he said, Jesus, if you can do something, will you help us? And Jesus said back to him with an exclamation point in Mark 9, if I can. He said, all things are possible to him who believes. And he turned to Jesus and said some of the sweetest words in Scripture, Lord, I do believe, but help thou my unbelief. What a sincere prayer that many of us should be praying on a daily basis. Lord, I believe that you are a miracle-working God, and I've got this circumstance in my life right now that I just don't understand, God. And you keep revealing yourself to me in fresh new ways. I heard the sermon. I understand that if you can bring a virgin and impregnate her and help her to bring into this world your holy son, then God, I know you can take care of this situation in my life. Because, see, faith in reading the Scripture and receiving the Word of God is a faith-building exercise, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Some of our faith has dwindled and it's so weak and it's so shabby right now because we're not feeding on the Word of God. And so Mary's response to the revelation and the illumination was simply what our response is. We're blown away. It was humiliation and submission. And Mary said in the last verse, behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And at that, the angel departed. Boom, he was gone. And here was Mary. She had just heard the most incredible message of her life. And her life would never be the same. And she humbled herself. She said, I'm a humble servant of the Lord. Later, Mary would sing it in song. You can see it on down in chapter 1. Mary's magnificent, even as in verse 47 all the way through 55. Look in verse 48. And Mary sung this back to Jesus when she was celebrating with Elizabeth. Not many days after this, it says, and he looked on the humble estate of his servant, and behold, from now on generations will call me blessed, or blessed among women. And so Mary knew that she had been highly favored. He had looked on the humble servant of her heart. And humility is always a pathway to God's presence in your life. I think our pastor said that this morning. God really must be wanting some of us to hear that. Because I just said it again. Humility is a pathway to God's presence in your life. Because God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I don't know about you, but I need grace. I need all the grace I can get. So tonight, as God continues to be so gracious and good and reveal himself to us, how will you respond? Would you just nonchalantly say, God, I didn't get it. I guess I wasn't there. Well, what's it going to take to get you there? To where you're going to learn to lean into God and learn from God and listen to God, and you're going to go deeper with God, and you're going to let God just blow you away. What will your response be? Mary, did you know? She knew a lot more in the end than she did at the beginning. And you will too, if you'll have the response Mary had in verse 38. Be it unto me according to your word. Let's stand together. Me and Brother Don will be standing here in the altar to pray with you, to encourage you. I pray God will use this word tonight to just encourage you and draw you closer to Him. If there's a need tonight, some questions that we can help you with, we'll be glad to entertain those and give you counsel here in the altar as we sing together.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.